إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. My dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the month of Ramadan in good health and iman, and with the ability to maximize the benefits that it comes with. We are about to enter once again into the blessed month of Ramadan. I remind myself not to be among those who enter Ramadan, but to be among those who Ramadan enters. For the one who enters Ramadan will leave Ramadan 30 days later and return to a life unchanged by the grace, majesty and forgiveness of Allah. While the one who Ramadan enters will keep it for the rest of the year, and with it the grace, majesty and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It is Allah's grace which presented us with this opportunity to turn towards Him and seek His pleasure in all that we say and do in preparation for our meeting with Him, a meeting about which there is no doubt. His grace which stacked the odds in our favor by giving us multiple rewards for the same actions. His grace which chained the shayateen and opened the doors of tawbah for those who seek to change themselves and their lives. His grace which multiplied the reward of all fara'id 70 times for the same deed at other times, and of the nawafil equal to the fard in other times. Ramadan is the biggest sign of His grace jalla jalaluhu, which He sends us every year of our lives. His majesty, feeling the awe of which is the root of all goodness, the foundation of all good actions, the purpose of our lives, to recognize our Creator, Owner, Provider, and whose law we follow. Al-Khaliq, Wal-Malik, Wal-Raziq, Wal-Hakim. It is this feeling of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart which is called taqwa, the fear of displeasing the one we love the most. Allah Rabbul Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb of the worlds, all those He created, sustains and protects. It is when the slave feels this connection that he makes the changes he needs to make in his or her life to become obedient to Allah. It is when he or she feels this awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty that the slave becomes a muttaqi and thereby eligible for the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in every aspect of his life. Remember that all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the muttaqoon and the muhsinoon. Ramadan comes to help us to become muttaqeen. As I recited at the beginning of this khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Oh, you believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become al-muttaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is the biggest gift that Ramadan brings, a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees slaves from the fire, a month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shuts the door of Jahannam and opens the doors of Jannah, a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed fasting and said, the fast is for me and I will reward it. As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. Hukama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't specify what that reward would be. He merely said that He would reward it. One can only imagine. In reality, this is beyond imagination. What that reward would be. A reward in keeping with the majesty and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. Taqwa is to be obedient to Allah, to be concerned with His pleasure, and to fear His displeasure. to always ask the question, will Allah be pleased with this, before every action or speech, to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted and to shun what He prohibited and to seek clarification in all matters of doubt. Taqwa is to leave the doubtful. Taqwa is to remember and recall that one day soon we will meet Allah and that every action of this life will be judged on the scale of the pleasure of Allah alone. Taqwa is to give precedence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His will and pleasure over the will, pleasure and approval of everyone else, including and most of all, one's own self. It is one's own self which is the greatest enemy of taqwa and which needs to be disciplined by reinforcing the message, it doesn't matter what you like to do, what matters is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. It is precisely to reinforce this message that Ramadan comes every year, a training period to remind us to do only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered, only because He ordered it. So in Ramadan, that which is normally halal becomes haram for a period of time every day, for no reason other than that Allah ordered it. This is the principle behind every ibadah or act of worship. Why do we pray salah in a certain way and not in a different way, which may be more convenient or logical? Why do we give a certain amount of charity as zakat and not more or less? Why is zakat obligatory on certain forms of wealth and not on others, even if the others may be more valuable? Why do we dress in a certain way in Hajj, the ihram? Why do we call standing in Arafah Hajj instead of Tawaf of the Kaaba? I can mention more, but these examples will suffice to show that we do all these things for one reason only, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do them. Only to emphasize the importance, in Ramadan, as I mentioned, my brothers and sisters, this whole issue is to reinforce the concept of taqwa, which is the brand of the Muslim. In Ramadan, as I mentioned, even the halal becomes haram, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered it. Only to emphasize the importance of leaving the haram at all times for the same reason, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered it. It is our nafs, the self, the desire, which comes in the way of this, aided and abetted by shaitan and his cohorts, and gets us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please ourselves and our foolish friends. Ramadan comes to bring us all back on track so that we leave these habits of ignorance. Ramadan comes to teach us to say, I am fasting, ana sa'im, if we are faced with something that goes against the spirit of obedience to Allah. Ramadan comes to say, I am fasting, ana sa'im, in spirit, in the rest of the year for the same reason, to every form of disobedience of Allah. That is the purpose of every training course, to bring about behavioral change. Psychologists tell us that habit change takes 21 days. Ramadan gives us 30. Let us pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to change our habits and become obedient to Him. I remind myself that one Ramadan will be our last. I do not know if this Ramadan is my last. Neither do you. Let us make use of this one as if it is our last, for it may well be. I ask Allah for His help. As I stand here, when I look to my left, that corner of the first saf is the place where my dear friend, my father's friend, and my dear, very dear elder, Mohinuddin Sahib, used to pray Taraweeh every single year. From the day this masjid was established 7 or 8 years ago, he used to pray Taraweeh every single year. He passed away earlier this year. So this Ramadan, that chair will be occupied by somebody else. I can name many other people like that who were with us in the last Ramadan and the Ramadan before that, but they are no longer with us today. The question I ask myself is, did he know that that was his last Ramadan? Do I know that this is my last Ramadan? Do you know this? And that is the reason why when Ramadan comes, let us treat it as if it is going to be our last, because it might well be. Any thought of postponing this and postponing that to next Ramadan, postponing Taraweeh and praying so many rakat and less and more, postponing reading of Quran, postponing etikaf, I won't do it this year, I will do it next year. this year I've got so much other work to do. Say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. Say a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And correct your aqidah and amal. You and I do not know whether this is our last Ramadan. What kind of hasrat and what kind of regret will it be for somebody who postponed his etikaf and he dies before the next Ramadan? What are that person's moment of death like? When he could have been sure of getting Laylatul Qadr 100% insha'Allah. The only people who can be sure of that are people who are in etikaf. Nobody else. May Allah give it to all of us insha'Allah. Irrespective of whether we are in etikaf or not. But the question of how strong is our iman and what is our aqidah about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe me, the work of this dunya will continue immediately after your salat al-janazah has been recited. There are many people who will not even stop the work of the dunya even to come to your qabr to bury you. And there are many who will come with their cell phones and continue the work while they are burying you. Who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? My brothers and sisters, when the slave becomes conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His presence in his life, he asks about Him. He wants to know his Rabb better. And he wants to get closer to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, in an ayah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan Al-Kareem. Allah said, and when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, concerning me, then answer them and tell them, indeed I am near to them. I respond to their dua. And when the supplicant, when the person making dua asks me, I respond to the dua of the supplicant when he calls me directly. So let him obey me and believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. How can we thank our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu enough for being so responsive to us? Remember that the Quran is the living speech of Al Hayyul Qayyum, the ever living and the established, who establishes everything but needs nothing for his own establishment. The ayat are speaking to us in real time. They were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 7th century. But they speak to us in real time across the centuries and will continue to do so until the earth exists. To every Muslim, the Quran is his or her personal revelation, to be read and understood as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read and taught it, and to be practiced as he practiced it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the touchstone, the criterion for right and wrong in terms of understanding and practice of the Quran and its commandments. That is the importance of the sunnah and the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that his Jalla Jalaluhu's word may be recited, explained and demonstrated as a standard and benchmark for all time. The Quran and the sunnah are intertwined, supporting one another and reflecting one another. The kitab, the book of Allah, and the sunnah and the way of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together are the foundation of Islam. That is why in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan and fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat about dua which I mentioned above. When the slave becomes conscious of his Rabb and becomes concerned about pleasing him, he asks about him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave asks about me, I am indeed near him. I respond to his dua, so let him obey me and have faith in me so that he may be rightly guided. My brothers and sisters, the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are conditional upon our actions. For dua to be answered, one must be obedient and have faith in Allah. Therefore, I remind myself and you to make a lot of dua in Ramadan. It is the month of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to accept our dua. Let us become obedient to Him and have faith in His power and generosity and ask Him for all our needs. Ask Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, also for the needs of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that was His sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's greatest sunnah, to make dua for His Ummah. Ask Allah for His help and protection and support and correction, islah, and guidance for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beginning with ourselves. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief from sin, because sin is an oppression on ourselves, to relief from disobedience and relief from oppression. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, because He told us to ask Him directly. And His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us also to ask Him directly. Ask Him and He will give, because He said, I respond to His dua, the dua of the supplicant. He said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me and I will answer you and I will give you. My brothers and sisters, truly the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is boundless. Because as the month progresses and the slaves fast and fill the masajid and stand in the night in Taraweeh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of His bounty ever wider. We come to the last third of the month, the last 10 days. In the nights of these days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed the gift of Laylatul Qadr. About this night and the reward of worship during it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. Laylatul qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Tanazzalul malaikatu warruhu fiha bi'idhni rabbihim min kulli amr. Salamun hiya hatta matla'il fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily we have sent this Quran down in the night of Al-Qadr. And what will make you know what is the night of Al-Qadr? The night of Al-Qadr is better than 1,000 months. 1,000 months of worshipping Allah in that night. Wherein descend the angels and the ruh, which is a name for Jibreel alayhi salam, by Allah's permission, bi'idhnillah, and with all decrees. Salam, safety and blessings and all goodness until the appearance of dawn. One night, the worship during which is more rewarding than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously, 24/7, without a halt, for 1,000 months. It is not equal to that, it is better than that. Khayrum min alfi shahr. Allah did not say it is equal to alfi shahr. He said khayrum min alfi shahr. How much more? More in keeping with the grace and majesty of Allah. The worship in one night is worth more than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously for 1,000 months, which is 83 years and 4 months. Quite apart from the fact that this is physically impossible to do anyway, in any case we could not have done it. What will you say about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this as a gift to the one who takes the trouble to do it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to search for this night in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and more specifically in the odd nights. My brothers and sisters, it is for this reason that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make i'tikaf. He used to seclude himself in the masjid during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This is something he did without fail, and the purpose of that was to find and benefit from Laylatul Qadr. Following the sunnah of i'tikaf is something that has become more widespread of late. But it is for each of us to ask this question to himself. What is the value of 83 years and 4 months of accepted worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day when a single good deed will spell the difference between Jannah and Jahannam? One single good deed. The difference between Jannah and Jahannam can be one deed. On that day, what is the value of 83 years and 4 months of accepted worship? Remember, Allah is talking about reward. Even if we did worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1,000 months, we don't know the quality of our worship. I can only talk about myself. And I do not dare to say that even one rakat or one sujood of that is worthy of acceptance. But this is, Allah is talking about the reward of it, which means accepted. What is the real value of this? My brothers and sisters, it brings us back and again and again and again to one basic fundamental question. Is, do you believe in Allah? Do you believe in the day of judgment? It's as simple as that. I remind myself and you, let us go and sit in front of a mirror and ask this question. Do I believe in Allah? Do I believe in the day of judgment? Do I really believe that one day I will die and stand before Allah? The day we answer this question, believe me, Islam will become the easiest thing in the world for us. To obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be absolutely a no-brainer. It will be a default setting in our lives. But until we answer this question, truthfully for ourselves, we don't have to tell anybody else this. Truthfully for ourselves, do I really believe in Allah? Do I really believe that the day of judgment is going to happen and I will stand before my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu? The day until we answer that question, believe me, you and I will live in a state of turmoil and confusion, totally and completely created by ourselves alone. As simple as that. My brothers and sisters, as I said earlier, since we don't know whether this is going to be our last Ramadan, and since we claim to have Iman on Allah and on the day of judgment, let us decide what to do in the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan. The biggest reward of i'tikaf is that the mu'takif, the one making i'tikaf, is sure to get Laylatul Qadr insha'Allah, because the entire period of i'tikaf and all halal actions during it, including sleeping, are considered to be worship. So even if one is in i'tikaf in the masjid and asleep, which is highly unlikely because, you know, there's a lot of activity happening, so you possibly can't be sleeping. But even if you are that, if you are in i'tikaf in the masjid, even if you are asleep during the entire Laylatul Qadr, from the end of Isha to the beginning of Fajr, you will still get the reward of worship in the night by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. You will still get the reward of 83 years and 4 months of continuous worship of Allah, even though you were sleeping. And this is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm trying to make the decision point as clear as possible for you and myself, since we are all susceptible to shaitan, who will try to convince us that the world will come to a halt if we make i'tikaf. Frankly speaking, the way the world is going, if it comes to a halt, it'll be a jolly good thing. But believe me, it won't. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to prove our iman with our actions, because that is the only form of proof that will work on the day of judgment. Our mother Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what dua she should make if she found Laylatul Qadr. And he taught her this dua. Allahumma innaka afu tuhibbul afu fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun kareem tuhibbul afu fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are the most forgiving. You love to forgive. So forgive me. Remember, the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are also revelation. They are also wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who taught him what to ask and how to ask. So this is a du'a taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the one who was most beloved to him. And therefore, this is the du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught and inspired in the heart of his Nabi to teach to the one who was most beloved to him. Imagine the power of this du'a. My brothers and sisters, what also makes this dua extra special, apart from this which is in itself enough, is the fact that Al-Afu is one of the glorious names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Afu means to wipe away without a trace the sin. Maghfira, however, also means forgiveness, but in Maghfira the sin is written down, it is recorded, it will be there and it will be presented to you. But in Afu, even the sign of it is gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sin. He will cause it to be removed from the books of record. And he will cause the malaika who wrote it to forget it. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa to ask for on Laylatul Qadr. Allahumma innaka afuun kareem tuhibbul afu fa'afu anna. Make this dua for all of you inshallah. My brothers and sisters, to conclude, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give us Ramadan al-Kareem in good health and iman, and in safety and security, and to enable us to take full advantage of its blessings. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from temptation, from laziness, from lies, from greed, from wasabis, from the bad advice of silly friends. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all evil. I ask Allah to inspire us to change our lives, to become obedient to Him, and to bring them on the sunnah of His beloved Messenger Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire you to make dua that He wants you to make, and which are best for you in this dunya wal akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant safety and security to those who don't have it, so that they can practice Ramadan in peace and harmony. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.